say, like, it's the way it always happens to me, you know, over and over. Probably that could be true, but what does that say about how you're handling situations like this? That probably means that there is an old story running through there, and one is setting this up the same way every time. And we need a fresh look and a new script.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And, oh my gosh, it's closing in on the end of our fourth year here. I can't believe it. And I'm so excited to have Roberta Mittman, our in-house health and wellness coach, here to talk to us about all things sort of these weird sort of melancholy thoughts that happen, maybe some self-sabotaging thoughts that happen at this time of year for us, and ways to get ourselves back on track so we can continue to have just experience life and have an optimal journey. And let me introduce Roberta if you haven't heard her show before when she's been on. She's a dedicated healthcare practitioner, health and wellness coach, speaker, author, and licensed acupuncturist. She's also the founder of the Park Avenue Center for Wellbeing in New York, and just an awesome lady. Every time I get to New York, I get the pleasure of seeing her and having so much fun with her. So thanks for being on the show, Roberta.
Just a pleasure, Sharon. I always love our conversations.
Oh, I do too. And you know, one of the things I've seen, and maybe you have too, around that happens this time of year, I know it gets darker earlier and in a lot of places it gets cold. And I want to say it's a melancholy. I don't say it's a lot of depression, but just sort of like, I thought it would be different. I thought I would be further along. My to-do list really hasn't changed this year, or I didn't lose weight. All these sorts of sabotaging thoughts. What do you tell your clients when they come in and have some of these thoughts that really aren't serving them at all?
Well, that's a really good question, Sharon, because at the end of the year, this is really a topic of conversation for my patients, and just about for, you know, a lot of the people that I meet. I think people are feeling like this is the big report card at the end of the year. How'd I do? How did I measure up? Right. And with all the things that you had planned from last year, even though most of those are forgotten, it's just all of a sudden, where am I? It's kind of like a little introspection. And not that very many people are thinking, wow, I'm like, just like a rock star. I've done so well. You know, people tend to be really hard on themselves and see all the things that they didn't do or expectations that weren't met. And so, yes, you're right. I think people can feel a little discouraged at this time of year. And, you know, there's different ways of looking at things. Maybe we could just go into a couple of those. Would you like to do that?
Sure, absolutely. I want to pop in one idea a mentor said to me and talk about it for just a second, and then I want to hear. I know you've got some great ones that you hear all the time. You mentioned the word expectations, and to me that is just such a loaded word. I think in one hand it's good to have expectations in some respects. I expect myself to be a nice person. I expect myself to behave certain ways. I expect some things. But I had a mentor say to me about a lot of things in life, and he said, learn to make your expectations preferences and life will be much easier. And when I looked at it that way, and in these moments of sort of discouragement, well, I expected, Roberta, I'd be so much further along on my to-do list. And then if I shifted that and I said to you, well, you know, Roberta, I would have preferred I'd been further along in my to-do list. I just love that. It sort of takes a sting out of it.
Well said. It really does. And, you know, to say it would be preferable if I were here, but what can I do with where I am now? So that's what I would add on to that. So, you know, it's, yes, it would be preferable, but it's so much a kinder, gentler way to look at your self-evaluation and looking at it as a preference. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it kind of takes away, like you said, like a lot of the sting of like disappointment.
Yeah, the coulda, woulda, shouldas. But I do like your addition there of, and what do I do with where I'm at? That's, and you know, where can we go from here? I like that. That's a nice addition.
And also, what I'd like to ask myself too is, so what went right? You know, there's like,
how come we never ask that? How come?
No. So like, what went okay with this? And what's okay with where I am now? And what do I have to learn from this? Did that mean that I need more work in this area? I need to get some help or mentoring in this area. I need to have more accountability in that area. So actually, I think it can be holding up a mirror to where you are and give you options to, you know, course correct if that's where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to throw out, because in the medical diagnosis, sometimes other people put the course on you when they give you a diagnosis and they sit you down and they say, and here are the symptoms and the statistics and all of that. And you know, I've chatted about this before, because when it's pronounced from a medical professional, it can often land with us with a real heaviness, like, oh my gosh, that's truth. And I like to say, at least in my case, where if I had believed the diagnosis, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. So,
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's talk a little bit about mindset. And I know you've got some common sabotaging thoughts that you hear your clients tell you.
Well, this is a very good one. This is perfect, because, you know, if you're going to believe every comment or anything that somebody says about you, that's definitely a problem. In terms of a medical diagnosis, you know, I mean, I can't say, you know, obviously, you know, don't take it seriously, because there are certain things that probably are good to know. But some people buy into the diagnosis itself and they define themselves by that. But people are so much more than their diagnosis, as you are the perfect example of. And you are the poster child for that, my dear. You know, it sounds like such a pronouncement. And even what people say, like if you get a negative review from your boss, it's so easy to believe that you're that person. But it's just really something to consider, and also to take everything in there and, you know, what's the best you could do with it? And when you got your diagnosis, you probably took it very seriously. And then you did what?
Yeah, I did take it seriously. I threw myself into finding all the latest research and finding out what would work for me, which is different than what works for anybody else. And, you know, I set myself out that I would take control over my body. And the interesting thing was that the medical professionals would give me advice, and they would also give me statistics. And because the symptoms and the outcomes are all statistics, not everybody has one path. And I thought, okay, well, I just have to defy the statistics. I'll just be on the opposite end of that bell curve. You know? I mean, it's all a stat. It doesn't mean it's a pronouncement on your life. And I think that's the important thing to understand, that when I talk to medical professionals, I have an awesome team now, and Roberta's one of those members, is that they give me advice, they give me their mastery, they give me their brilliance and what they think is best. But, you know, nobody knows my body like I do. And nobody knows what I want out of my life like I do. And I think it's ultimately up to me whether I say, thank you very much, I'm running with it, or thank you very much, I'll think about it. And that doesn't mean I may not do it later. There's many things that I was advised to do that didn't fit right at that moment, but I added in later. So that's, I think, keeping an open mind.
Oh, yes. That's well said. And I think the other thing that you mentioned, Sharon, also I think is so apropos with our conversation right now. And that is so many things feel like they're out of control. When you think of like a whole year that's passed and a whole year that's coming up, or medical diagnosis, all of those different factors, things are out of control, and that, you know, you're just drifting along and you can't impact anything, but that's really not true. And I think it's really great to think, okay, what can I do to take control over this situation? And I think that's probably have some control here. And I think that's probably one of the best questions that anybody could ask. So if this is not working out, what can I do?
Yes, absolutely. But I just want to throw out the idea, and sometimes just taking a nice deep breath or two or three or four might be all you can do at that exact moment. Mm-hmm. But even doing something like, okay, I am just going to calm myself down, center myself, get more present so I have a better perspective on the entire situation by taking some nice deep breaths, you're still doing something. You're still moving forward.
Perfect. That is so perfect. And then in terms of like, you know, your preferences is just being curious to see how are things going to turn out? Where, you know, instead of saying the odds are not with me, you could have said that. And you could have said, this is just a losing cause. Why should I even bother? It's just like, you know, it's just too overwhelming, or it couldn't happen to me. Well, you know, as you said, taking some action, feeling that there is feeling a little in getting some of your control and empowerment back, I think is very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What are some other sabotaging thoughts that you often hear this time of year?
This is another sabotaging thought is if it's meant to be, then it'll happen. It's just going to happen on its own. And, you know, Sharon, I have like a love-hate relationship with this one, because part of me is the spiritual part of me wants to say, yeah, if it's meant to be, give it time, it'll happen. And let's just wait and see. But the other part of me says, you know, maybe that's like just kind of like giving up. It's just kind of throwing up my hands and saying, I'm not going to do anything. I'll just take the way it's going to work out without having to do anything or take any actions to kind of move it forward.
It's sort of a non-decision.
Yes, a non-decision. Sometimes, you know, waiting a little bit's not a bad idea. Sometimes if it's, you know, meant to be, but I think it's important to kind of understand that if you want something to happen, you might have to take some actions or do something to move it forward.
Oh, right. So I like to say no decision, still a decision.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. I love that. And another one is, you know what? It's just not fair. I've worked so hard. So-and-so got the promotion. I didn't. I didn't lose the weight. And I starved and I struggled. It's just not fair. There's tons of different things that we could add in that, right? And come up with the conclusion that you worked so hard, but somehow you got deprived and it's not fair. Yeah. And I would say, yeah. So who said life was fair? It may not be fair. So what can we do about that? What other little maybe course correction could you take instead of feeling such resentment and frustration?
Oh, resentment. That's a big one. That's a big one where people can get stuck and not understanding that they are in resentment. Because what I find about that particular, it's not fair. There are so many people in the world that are willing to cheer you on in it's not fair. They'll sort of join you down in the hole and go, you're right, it isn't fair. And as you said, it's not getting you anywhere at that point. It's okay. I think like all of these sabotaging thoughts, it's okay to have the thought. It's what you do after the thought that's critical. Because I think we've all said, when I got the diagnosis, I'm sure, I don't remember the exact words, but something to the effect of, gee, it's not fair. I just got this life-changing diagnosis. And in all honesty, it's not fair, but it is. So there you go. And to me, it's like, okay, it's okay to have the thoughts that we're talking about, but what do you do with them?
Right. Exactly right. And yeah, there's a lot of like anger and resentment that builds up. And it's very paralyzing, actually, in terms of course correcting and making decisions. Some people just can't get past that hurdle, that like anger at themselves for like forgetting in that situation and feeling less than.
Let me share something. Just you said anger at themselves, and that brought up this thought that we had Sarah Payton on maybe a few weeks ago. I can't remember the exact date, but she had something awesome about the word anger at, like anger at yourself, anger at the doctors, or anger that. And that was a critical shift to me. I was like, are you angry at yourself because of the diagnosis, or are you angry that there is a diagnosis and that there is a disease, there is something going on with your body that needs to be corrected? Are you angry that, or are you angry at? And that was a huge shift in thought process for me that created a lot of change in how I talk and think about where we are in the world, and that it's okay to be angry. It's just, how do you focus it? Do you focus it at, internally, externally, or do you focus it towards the problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank you. I like that distinction.
Yeah, it's
thank
a nice distinction.
Bringing that up. Yes, yeah, that's really well said.
Nice distinction.
Yeah.
So, your next sabotaging thought.
That's good. The next one I would say that I hear a lot is really concentrating on mistakes that we've made, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. And sometimes that is obsessing people. This would happen if only it weren't for this. And they can't get past that point. It's like they're moving along, and screech to a stop when they feel like they've made a mistake. They said the wrong thing. They did the wrong thing. They had the wrong action. Somebody took it wrong. They had a fight. They replaying all of these things over their head of all the negativity that happened. So I see a lot of times people are saying, it says basically that it's just like, I'm not good enough. I made too many mistakes. Just kind of like, it's not going to happen for me, basically. And if this hadn't happened, then everything would have been okay. Just
is
like...
Is that a self-worth issue?
I think it is. And it's catastrophic thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's also a self-worth issue big time. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I messed it up. So yes, it's good to take accountability, but I also feel there comes to a point where you can actually victimize yourself unnecessarily and be really hard on yourself. So I think like we have to just kind of like let go of that a little bit and kind of like it happened. Yes, we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, but we need to move on.
I like that. I like to say, don't become a professional victim.
Yeah, perfect. Well said. And then the last one that I find, and I'm wondering if your listeners, you know, agree with this sometimes, is like, you know, this always happens to me. This is what always happens. I always get on a diet and I lose weight and then I always gain it back and then some. That's kind of your yo-yo dieting plan. Or I always like get to a certain point in my career and then somehow I just put my foot in my mouth, or somebody younger gets hired and I just like can't seem to like work my way up the corporate ladder. You can fill in the blank, but it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. This always happens to me. And it just kind of goes on and on and on. So I think there's a time we need to kind of cut that story out and realize that maybe A, you could be setting it up that way unconsciously, or B, it's could be that you're making the same mistake like over and over and need to kind of, you just haven't taken the right action to correct it yet. And I think that it's not necessarily something that just has to be the same way each time. It's just a warning sign.
I call that same man, different body. Because how many times you have, I have girlfriends who introduce me to the new man in their life, and I swear it's the same guy. I mean, you know, maybe obviously a different face, but the same guy.
You know? Right. There's a pattern.
There's a pattern that they've chosen, obviously an unconscious pattern in most cases that they've chosen. And I know you and I have talked about this before, that one of a good way to see patterns in your life, and especially if you find that kind of thinking, maybe you're not saying it out loud, but this always happens to me type of thinking, is journaling. And one of the ways I like to journal is to journal on the right hand side of the page during that time, the, you know, right there, that live time, and then leave the left hand side of the page blank. And then, oh, every month or two or three, go back and write what's changed. Read where I was three months ago, and write on the left hand side what's changed. And you'll be amazed how often you, after a while, you'll see your patterns. You'll see, oh, I made this decision, that happened. And you flip forward a month, oh, I made that same decision and that happened again. What is this pattern about? And it gives you context for these patterns that you make. And also, I always say your friends notice your patterns before you do. And so if they say something to you like, oh, why do you always, is a common one that a friend might say, or the one that I like is they start to tell you something and out of my mouth will come, but you just don't understand. That is my warning sign that my friend is seeing some pattern in me that I'm not able to see at this point.
Oh, I see. That's really interesting.
They're always a good judge. They're always a good judge when I say, but you just don't understand, and start making excuses or something like that for why I made this decision again. I like to say that your friends are really good mirrors for understanding your patterns.
Absolutely. And what I'm going to add to that is that so many times we really need somebody else, whether or not it's a friend or a mentor or a coach, to help us find the patterns. Because we live in our own head. It's so hard to see it for ourselves. And, you know, with my patients, many times I work with them and we really find that these patterns are not just from this year or last year. It's like I've been doing this all my life, ever since I've been like 7 years old. And these patterns come up, and without getting into a really super lengthy discussion about it, many times it's just a survival skill, creating these patterns, and we kind of set them up unconsciously because it's all we know. It's really just the devil that we know instead of trying something new. So sometimes where you can really bring that to somebody's attention or have somebody show me, says, you know, Roberta, like, I think that you need, you know, be good if you looked at this particular decision that you made, because you made something like that before and you keep on doing this over and over. And I'm going, you're right. You know, I just even noticed that. I think it's very important, and it could really be life changing, I think.
Oh, it is fun to have those discussions with your friends over tea sometimes and just have those in-depth conversations. I think it's critically important to have those kinds of people in your life and cultivate those types of friendships where there's that honesty about each other, that it's not critical, it's nothing. It's just when somebody points out your patterns, what an amazing gift. And you mentioned that you could have them since you were seven, but I noticed that I even have patterns that my mom has. I'll be out to dinner with my mom and she'll say a certain phrase or, you know, mention a certain thing or whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's where I got it from.
There you go. There, that's perfect. Yes. So that is exactly what we're talking about. And sometimes it's really, really hard to say. Some people say like, it's the way it always happens to me, you know, over and over. Probably that could be true. But what does that say about how you're handling situations like this? That probably means that there is an old story running through there, and one is setting this up the same way every time. And we need a fresh look and a new script.
Oh, you know, that's a great story came to my head really quick here because we have to take a quick commercial break. But years ago, I had a boss that was just difficult. That's a polite word, just difficult. And then I started doing some contract work as well. And my first contract, I swear they were carbon copies of each other. and these two difficult people. And I mentioned to a friend, and she said to me, you better be careful, because until you learn how to deal with that personality type, they'll keep multiplying until you learn to deal with it. Uh-huh. And I've thought about that, and I can't say that it's a consistently true, but I have noticed it over time that, yep, if I have that problem here and I don't deal with it, maybe I swallow it or I ignore it or I conflict avoid it, it will pop up someplace else, maybe with, like, you know, a different hair color hair or whatever, but it's still the same problem. It's fascinating how that works.
Absolutely. And that could happen, like, you know, people who attract other people who are like, need a lot of hand-holding and attention. It's kind of like, you know, what they've always done. They attract these people who need a lot of nurturing or whatever. They just seem to be in that web all the time, or they tend to have somebody that tells them what to do or bosses them around, you know, friends or whatever. You know, it's just, it's very interesting the kind of patterns that we get to. When you have your boss, you can't really, you know, always have control over that. You know, that's kind of an interesting way to look at it, but somehow that just, you know, seemed to work out the same way.
Yeah, I can't change my boss, but I definitely can change how I work with my boss, how I look at my boss, how I think about my boss, and how I talk about my boss. The things I have control over, I can't change my boss. People will change, they just resist being changed. But oftentimes I find if I change my own way of working with someone or working with a problem, people around me start changing. It's fascinating. I don't know if that's a response to me or if I'm just seeing different, and it doesn't really matter. It tends to resolve itself. We blew past our first commercial break. We'll be right back. I gotta hurry along here. We're way over time, so we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Roberta Mittman. And She is a dedicated alternative healthcare practitioner, health and wellness coach, international speaker, author, and licensed acupuncturist. She's also the founder of the Park Avenue Center for Well-Being in New York City, and I like to call her our resident health and wellness coach. We've had her on before several times, and I wanted to have her on because we're near the end of the year, and lots of things go through our minds. Sort of a melancholy sets in that we shoulda, woulda, couldas, and all these types of things. And Roberta, we've gone through some of your favorite self-sabotaging things that you deal with in your practice. Now, let's say we are aware, maybe we've fallen into one or more of those traps. What are some ways that, I know you talk about like these little mini goals. Let's talk about what are some ways we can work our way out of these traps. So, okay, I'm aware that I've got the self-sabotaging talk. Now what?
First of all, are we going to set a new course? What are we going to do with what we have? Let's just take stock of this and kind of listen to your self-talk if you can. And, you know, I know that you mentioned writing things down and journaling. I think that's a wonderful idea. And listening to yourself. What are you saying? We need to, you know, how can you be easier on yourself? And how can you just like lighten up a little bit and be a little bit more detached from a lot of these negative kind of evaluations that we've given ourselves at the end of the year? One of the things we could decide is, so what are some of the possibilities that are available right now? What can we do? What can we like 99% do right now? Do we want to scrap that idea and write a new script, such as, you know, things don't look like, things seem like they're overwhelming and they seem out of control, but what can I actually have control over? What action steps can I take right this minute? They're like baby steps. They don't have to be huge, but that I can 99% do. So that's always, I think, a very, I'd say optimistic way of dealing with things. I think once you start to take action, you start to change everything. Instead, yes, don't you agree?
I do. And one of the things I wanted to point out, when I was at the height of the illness, though, some of my actions were just consciously breathing. They were as simple as that. Yeah. They were just, okay, things are sort of on a tailspin right now. But consciously making choices as simple as breathing or as simple as I'm going to sit up and then I'm going to take 5 steps. I mean, they were simple as that. And maybe 5 steps is not as simple as I'm making it sound. But the decisions don't have to be big. When Roberta's saying mini steps, they can be mini. Just really mini. Just taking action.
Taking action is important. And I think also that I always like to say, what can you do? Like 99% for sure. You know, I really like them to be chunked down, actionable steps. I think that's really important. Then I think we could also reevaluate, like, what did we set out to do? How realistic is this really? Do we really still want to do this? And where did these expectations come from? When you think, you know, where people feel like, you know, I'm just not where I thought I would be. Like, well, you're here now. What are we going to do? And how can we redefine where you are? I'm sure it's further than it was before. It may just not be where you had thought or dreamt that you were going to be. But let's just take stock and be realistic. And this is where you are. What could we do? And, you know, many people start with the New Year's resolutions, right? And sometimes I know, Sharon, you like to make them. And I love the way you say, and better, correct?
Right.
Is that what you like to say? Tell us again.
Yeah, I always like to say, make a new resolution and say, or better.
Right.
And that way I'm open to curiosity. I'm open to the possibility that if it unfolds the way I expect or prefer, that's great. But if something else amazing comes along, I'm open to that too. And when I say or better, it doesn't have to be particularly related to what I said. How many times in life, I know we both have been surprised by something that's happened in life and call each other up and us, I didn't expect that to happen. Something happens out of the blue. And if I had been stuck in my mind, like I'm only going to go on this other path, that or better possibility, I might have just ignored it or said, oh, I can't do it, or oh, it's, I'm not ready yet, or whatever. So always leaving that or better as a possibility is critical in my mind.
I'm personally a little different in that respect because I'm not a great lover of New Year's resolutions because I don't think most people take them seriously. You do, and the way you say it is so perfect, but I think most people just kind of, well, I'm just putting it out there. I'm not really serious, but it's like January 1st and I'm going to start something new. It's a dream without a plan. There's no real commitment, no real skin in the game. It's just kind of like, let's just go for it. And I think that's nice. I think that's fine. But I just would hate people to be disappointed and discouraged if they didn't make it to the, you know, that proverbial finish line.
But that's also getting stuck on the finish line. I think one of the things that when I make the resolutions, it's some thoughts that I think, yeah, this is where I want to go, I think for now. But then always being open and curious to the possibility of picking up the phone and having some great offer to do something amazing over there. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't know that that was coming. So change of plans.
Great. And I think that's fabulous. And then there are people who, you know, aren't really that open and curious. And they'll be like, I made this resolution. I'm going to lose 20 pounds by the end of March. And that's it. And they don't get there. And then it's like they throw their hands up and they feel like they quit. So they're not just open and flexible. So some people put in plans and their expectations are really unrealistic. So I always like people, you know, I always like to have plans that really make sense. So that do they have accountability? You know, are you open to other things that are happening, like you just along the way with you? And when are you going to do this? And when? How? You know, adding in all of those little details so that it really has, there's a definiteness about it. It's not just, let's just wing it and, you know, put this glorious plan in place. I just feel people get too discouraged that way if they're not paying attention.
And I think one of the things that's important to have are small measurable goals, or maybe not goals, but small measurable markers, road markers. Because if I'm dead set on this 20 pounds by March, and I don't know, just losing 20 pounds seems like a big number to me. So maybe I want to, you know, have some plans of how I'm going to do it, exercise, whatever, diet, and have those plans in place. But also, okay, I'm going to start with, in the first 2 weeks, I'm going to lose 2 pounds. To me, I like these little mini goals or these little mini successes that I can celebrate and know that if I've done the math right, by the end of March, I'll get to that 20. Because when you said 20, I'm like, that just sounds like a really big number.
There you go. That's my point exactly. It is. It's just not realistic necessarily. And I think it needs to be chunked down. But I would even say, let's take a step further. If you really want to make it happen, what does that mean? What's that going to look like for your week? What are you going to change and do that's a little different in your nutritional plan each week? And are you going to add in a little exercise? Are you going to have accountability and maybe write down some of the things that you're eating? Keep a food journal. And there's just a lot of different ways that you could make this more specific and more likely to happen. So you're right, a nice manageable goal and real specifics about that. So you're going to exercise what days and what hours, morning, evening, like let's get it all like worked out so that you have a plan. And I think that seems to be something more manageable. And I just like to joke, the gym is empty by March. Everyone just gave up. I have the whole gym back to myself again, you know, and I'm fine with that because everyone is there like this January 1st.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to take our final commercial break. When we come back, I want to hit on some things that Roberta's also an expert on. That's diet, nutrition, because, gosh, this time of year, easy to slip off our ideas of what is quality eating and not. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Roberta Mittman. She's a dedicated alternative healthcare practitioner, a health and wellness coach, international speaker, author, and licensed acupuncturist. She's the founder of the Park Avenue Center for Wellbeing in New York City, and every time I get to New York, it's absolutely mandatory that I go see her, absolutely mandatory, because it's awesome to spend some time with her in person as well. One of the things I mentioned before the break, Roberta, and you had brought up this idea of diet and nutrition, it got me to thinking about, gosh, this time of year, I mean, summer, picnics, all of that is tempting, but I think I'm more active. But this time of year, gosh, there are so many tempting things around diet and nutrition. Let's talk about some of your best tips for diet and nutrition in the winter months.
Sure. Thank you, Sharon. I would love to. And, you know, I think I'm going to direct some of my comments to this time of the year, the end of the year, because this is holiday time and party time and a lot of it goes from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day and then beyond. So we could talk about some of the holiday issues that kind of come up and perhaps give people some tips in order to just stay a little bit in a more moderate zone. And then I think there'll be less need to be so crazy January 1st.
Yes.
That sounds like a better idea, right?
Yeah, let's talk about those tips that you have, because I'm thinking when you said Thanksgiving, and I'm thinking all the way through Super Bowl. So like towards the end of January, there's all this crazy partying, eating things that probably aren't as healthy, glorious looking snacks. So what are some tips you have for us to stay on track?
Well, I would say, I'm just going to mention a few, and I'd love to hear your input. My first tip for you is something that I think is probably going to take everybody in a really good place from the start. And that is never go hungry and eat before you eat. Because if you go and you're starved, it's going to backfire. And people like save up all their calories. They don't want to eat during the day. And so everything looks good.
Everything does look good, doesn't it? Especially when I'm hungry. Sort of that idea of when you go grocery shopping hungry too. You tend to overbuy food at the grocery store. At least I do. And I tend to buy food that probably isn't as healthy because it's quicker to eat or something. I'm thinking when I'm hungry, I might tend towards the packaged foods that I can quickly.
So my first tip that I like to share with everybody this time of year is eat before you eat. Don't go hungry, because it will surely backfire. We're all guilty of saying, well, I'm going to this party. I'm going to skip lunch. Or I'm going to save up my calories. And you know, that never works. Nice try, but it just doesn't. So what I want everybody to do is just to eat a little something before they go to one of these parties so that they can exert some kind of moderation, and they're not going to want to grab every single thing that they see. Do you ever do that? Do you ever go to parties and you're starved and you swear that you're going to, quote, I'm going to be good at this party, and it just never works because you just can't control yourself?
Oh, everything. Yeah, everything looks good. And the other place I noticed, and I think it's the same kind of concept, is don't go grocery shopping hungry, because I know when I go grocery shopping, I come home with more packaged items that just sort of rip open and start eating instead of something that's healthier yet requires some preparation. So yeah, you're right. Eat before you
Perfect.
Eat.
Yeah, definitely don't go starve. The second thing would be is to survey all the food that's there first if you can. You know, if it's a buffet, I always walk around and I always see what's there. And I kind of make some mental notes about what I might want my plate to look like. And what I want to add on my plate, instead of just take your plate and go on this line and, you know, take this hors d'oeuvre, that hors d'oeuvre, or this, as you go along, you're just kind of winging it. This way, just kind of scope it out and kind of get an idea of what your choices might be. That usually makes a big difference.
You know, I like to take the salad plate instead of the dinner plate if I have that option too, because the salad plate only fits so much. So I know, if it's a really high fashion type of social event, you might want to take the correct plate just so you look like you know etiquette. But if it's more of a casual type of event, I'll always choose the smaller plate. That helps me portion control.
Yes, perfect. I love that. Another thing that I think we need to do is don't forget to really slow down and chew your food. How many of us really take time to chew? And when you think about it, how many times you're supposed to chew your food is kind of outrageous, like a huge amount, but really slow down. So one a tip could be to sit next to the person that eats the slowest. And that way you'll tend to eat slower and not just scarf all this food.
I was thinking about that, who that would be in my life. And some people came up to my, in my mind. So I was sort of like, yeah. And that's an interesting one I'll have to think about. But you're right. We do tend to mirror the people we're sitting around. So definitely don't sit by the scarfer, right? Definitely choose some of the slower.
Yeah, exactly. And chew your food and just take your time. Another one would be, of course, to watch some of the alcohol, because it weakens your resolve and you're going to wind up really eating a whole lot more than you intended.
Well, and there's a lot of calories just in alcohol too. So I guess we could have to be careful on that as well.
And you know, Sharon, one of the things that you mentioned, which I think when we were talking earlier, it's I think really important, that is there's so much good stuff around. Sugar and cookies and all that. And sometimes people say, well, I'm just going to have one this time, even though you know it could bother you. It could bother your digestion. It could cause inflammation. There's a lot of different things. But sometimes just that one is enough to trigger some kind of immune response. So it's really important to kind of take that into consideration and really plan your choices carefully.
Now, you bring up a good point, because one of the things I've noticed is that the healthier and healthier I get, I still have the certain sensitivities to some foods, and it takes less and less of that food to cause a sensitivity or cause an inflammation. And I find that so fascinating, that even just that idea of, oh, just have a bite. Somebody's made this wonderful thing, just have a bite. But I know that if I have that bite and that's something that I know I shouldn't be having because it causes inflammation, is it worth me waking up in the middle of the night with my muscles hurting, with the inflammation just on fire? And right now I say no, no. And it's kind of an odd, awkward situation at times where you're the only one eating differently or maybe not having dessert. But I just have had to learn to get comfortable with the awkwardness of it. People want you to be like them, but I don't go into great detail. Most of my friends know, but I don't go into great detail. And sometimes I say, oh, no, I'm not hungry. You know, and that's okay. It's funny how sometimes other people get uncomfortable with your food choices.
That's a point very well taken. And, you know, oh, come on, Sharon, you just don't want to have one. Or come on, we're having a party, you can treat yourself. And there's a lot of people who really impose their food choices. And I think it also helps them feel a little better about some of the indulgence that they're having too. They want everybody to participate.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, when Roberta and I get together, we just always run out of time. We're almost out of time, Roberta. I want everybody to know about you and your book and anything else you'd love to share with us. Any last little tips or anything you'd love to share, but definitely, how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, thank you, Sharon. I really enjoyed our chat today. People can reach me at probably the best place, my website, which is www.robertamittman.com. And I think I'd like to share with everybody to say, you know, at this time of year, there are a lot of negativity and there's a lot of statements and people could feel a little bit blue when they look at their evaluation. But just to remember one thing, and that is that tomorrow's another day. And January 1st is really just another day too. And if it feels like it's a new beginning to you, great. But honestly, let's look at your wins. Look at all the great things that have happened to you this year. And, you know, that I think is really important, instead of having it, all the negativity overtake you, because I bet it's been a great year for you.
Oh, yeah. That's a great tip. That's a great tip. And I find that oftentimes we remember the things that didn't work out because they're not resolved. And the things that my friends will remind me of, well, remember that win and remember that win. I'm like, oh, yeah. But I've resolved it. I mean, I won and I filed it away in the memory system. And so it's funny.
That's right.
Funny what we hang on to and what we let go of. Roberta, as always, it's been fabulous. Everyone, join me next Friday for another episode of the Autoimmune Hour right here, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Is always a new episode. Or you can catch any of the podcasts, listen to some of Roberta's other comings here where she shared with us. And understandingautoimmune.com. We have all the old podcasts up there. We do have a YouTube channel now, so you can understandingautoimmune.com/YouTube to find the YouTube channel. And be sure and join Transcribe Tribe. That's over at understandingautoimmune.com as well. You'll get a little button there that'll allow you to join Transcribe Tribe and get not only Roberta's transcript, but a lot of the other transcripts as well. So lots of options for you to join us and explore with us. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. Everyone, have a great weekend. Join me next Friday. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.